by our pastor, Altorio Holden Sr. At the end of the broadcast, contact information will be given to you. Here's our pastor.
Acts chapter 3, we will parade and peruse the periphery of verses 1 through 11. And just to, for time's sake, that whole chapter, we'll just deal with something in it. We'll just read those 11 verses. Amen. When you have Acts chapter number 3, say, I have the word and I'm ready to receive it. Now, Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, ask an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him. And as the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's Great Wondering. Let's stop right there. May God of the blessing, those hearers and doers of his word, the grass wither, the flower fade, the word of God stands forever. Amen. 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 Want to use for a simple thought and title or tag to this message, let's go to church. Let's go to church. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, let's go to church. Amen. When we talk about the church, a lot of times we think that it's all about the building. And we forget where Jesus said that if there are two or three gathered in my name, then I am there in the midst. Sounds like church. And sometimes we forget to be the church because we're too busy trying to have church. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you, sometimes we're too busy trying to have church, and sometimes we do things or say things or act out in a way that does not become the church. Amen? Amen? Because a lot of things that we do at church is not always something that Jesus required for the church. Amen. Y'all hear me now. Amen. But the things that Jesus requires for us to be the church, sometimes we forget those things and we put them last so that we can have church. Mm-hmm. But we're going to go to church today by looking at these particular scriptures, and we're going to find our way through this, and hopefully by the end of the message, you will say, I want to be that person, or I want to be the person who knows that I am the church. Amen? When we look at this particular book, the book of Acts, it is a historical a letter that was sent by the physician by the name of Luke, where we get the same gospel according to Luke. Amen. He was writing to a friend of his, somebody that he wanted to influence to believe on Jesus Christ, by the name of Theophilus. He wrote to him the gospel of Luke, and this was the second letter to him, trying to explain that since I wrote to you what happened in the life of Jesus, I need to let you know that he still lives in his believers. And so this is the Acts of those who follow Jesus. Amen. Amen. When I ask a question this morning, I want to ask you, what are your acts since you've been following Jesus? How do you act since you said that Jesus is your choice? Amen. Luke begins to write, and he writes now about the church. He's writing about the disciples of Jesus Christ, those who have discipline themselves and waited a while and have been endued with power from on high. A lot of times we get a misunderstanding of what the Spirit of God is supposed to do or be in our life. We forget that instead of the Spirit of God making us, some people say, well, they caught the Holy Ghost because they jumped and ran around the church, or they had an emotional outbreak because the Spirit moved on them and they showed some emotion. We say they caught the Holy Ghost, but you can't catch him. Amen. Tell somebody you can't catch him. He's too fast for you. You don't even know where he is. So how can you catch him? We think that sometimes that the Holy Spirit, that he will make us do certain things that seem mystical and weird and where people can't explain, you know, stuff like that. But that's not always what the Holy Spirit is there for. He is there to make you a witness unto God. He is there not only to make you a witness, but to make you love like you're supposed to love. To make you be able to do the things that you could not do on your own. The Bible says that he is the Parakletos. He is the one who comes along to help you to do or to achieve God's will. Amen. How many want to achieve God's will? Well, you need the Holy Ghost in your life. Amen. The church had now been filled with the Holy Spirit. They waited on the Holy Ghost, and they tarried in the upper room, and they were filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, and they had boldness to be able to preach the word of God. In that same day, Peter preached, and 3,000 people decided to make Jesus their choice. They joined the church of the living God. Come on and say amen. The fascinating thing about that is that they didn't even have a church building like we have, but they wanted to be part of the church. 3,000 of them. Come on and say hallelujah. And so here it is now. We find that they have went on doing their thing, and they've got the power of the Holy Spirit. And then so all of a sudden, because of this, they are prompted to go to the temple to worship. Now, mind you that some of the people in the temple, they don't believe like Peter and John believes. They don't even like what Peter and John like. They don't even care about Peter and John. I wish I had somebody. See, sometimes when you go to the hour of prayer, when you go to worship, you might be in the midst of folks that may not like you. You may be in the midst of people that you may not be able to get along with. I can't really understand, most of the time how people can just hold on to things for years and years and years and don't try to get it fixed, because that stuff gets in between you and God. So here it is. He said they went up in verse 1. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. So here they went during the daytime. They decided that we're going to go and pray. Probably around 3 o'clock in the day, they decided that they wanted to go pray. And you know, about 3 o'clock in the day, we're not going to do too much of nothing. Amen. We're going to go home if we can, and I'm going to kick up and relax. But 3 o'clock in the day, here these men of God was, they were going up to pray. And verse 2 says, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried there daily, and the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Now, here's the setting. Here's what happens. This man has a condition that he cannot walk. He had never been able to walk before. He was a dependent. He depended on everybody. He depended on his parents, because if you read the text later on, you'll find out that his mom and daddy was called in to see if this miracle that had happened was true. And so he had to depend on his parents. He had to depend on friends. Somebody had to carry him every day to the gate so that he can get some money. Amen. They were using him to get money because not only did he benefit, but you know how it is. You don't want to give people a ride for too long until you start saying, they ain't even asked me, did I want some gas money? You stop picking them up, uh-huh. So guess what? This man, apparently he had to pay somebody for picking him up and taking him to that gate every day. So they had them a little racket going to where they knew that if we just get by religious folks, they will have a heart to give. And we can say, well, God bless you. You know how it is. The person that come up to you at the store and they ask for a few dollars. You got any change, bro, man? And you say, yeah, here you go. God gonna bless you. I tell them God already has. That's why I can give it to you. Amen? And so when you look at this man's condition, we see here that he was dependent and they laid him at the gate. And look, the problem here is that nobody tried to help him go in the church, but they laid him at the gate of the church. I wish I had somebody. This man stood there. He sat there. He could not stand. He could not walk. He could not stand. He had never done this in his life. And so the Bible says that they laid him there and he asked for alms. And so what happened here is that what he was waiting on is that people put something in his cup. And see, sometimes we get satisfied with people putting things in our cup. Preach. In other words, you just want a little bit of something to get you by, but you don't want to get to be able to be whole, because that then I can get up and do my own thing. Amen. Look at this situation. He said that this man was laid there and he looked for alms. And so, you know, sometimes when people put something in your cup, it does not change your condition. It gets you by for the next day, but it does not change the condition that you're in, because they don't really want to see you change. They just want to see you stay where you are. I want to ask you this morning, are you satisfied with where you are? Are you satisfied just coming to the church and not coming in and being part of the, I wish I had somebody. Some people come to the church, but they're not in the church. How do we do that? Some people come to the church, but they're not in the church. In other words, we just want to kind of slide in and don't do nothing and don't have no activity going on when it comes to God and slide out. We can't be guilty of coming in to get our fix for God from God and then sliding out just as long as I got my encouragement for the day. We have to be guilty of receiving a word of God, going out into the highways and the hedges and byways and sharing the good news to somebody, helping somebody else along the way. What have you been doing with the bread that you've been collecting when you come here? Oh, hallelujah. Y'all might not like this morning, but it's all right. Some people come to church, and that's why you see the mega church is growing so much, because you don't have to do nothing. You don't have to be a part of nothing. You don't have to interact with nobody. You can just slide in and slide out. I got my encouragement. I got my motivational speech. I wrote down my few little notes that I need to look at later on during the week, but then we don't do anything with them except try to apply them to myself. What about applying them to other folks' life? Telling people what they must do to be saved. Amen. I wish I had a few people in here that say, I'm not just coming to church, but I'm coming in to be part of the church. I wish I had a few people there. He said that they set him there every day so that he might get something in his cup. And so what he got in his cup was not changing who he was not changing or making him better. I want to get better. I want to be made whole. And I wonder why it was so many church folks that pass by this man and all they can do is say, here, get out of my face. Here's enough. There he is again begging. They don't want to give him again, because they give him every day, every Sabbath day. They knew that this man was going to be there. They passed right by him and nobody offered him healing. Nobody offered him deliverance. You know, we have become like that as the church. We only offer shoes, shirt, houses, cars, husbands, wives. That's all we offer. We do not offer people health. We don't offer them healing. We don't offer them the things that God say that they can have, such as salvation. Oh, y'all might not say amen, but it's all right. We don't offer them that. And so, you know, when we talk about the church, we have to understand that the church, again, is a spiritual hospital. This is where people should come, and they should feel comfortable and confident that I can get some help if I go to church. Yeah. But some people come to church and they get hurt rather than getting helped. Is that all right? Amen. And so we got to look at this. He says that we're looking at this man sitting there, and just like the church is supposed to be, again, a spiritual hospital, and some of us, we try to hide our issues at the hospital, but we can see you throwing up. We can see your nose running. We can see you sick, and we need to go and help the people that we see that are sick. Sometimes we don't want to expose ourselves, but if you go to the hospital, there's some people that's going to see some things on you. Oh, come on and say, man, and we got to be ready to say, you know what, I don't care what it take, I just want to be made whole. I wish I had somebody. Now we got to understand something, that if we're going to say that we're the spiritual hospital, then we have to offer some type of service. If we're going to say that we're here to help people, then we have to offer help to them. Amen. You know, we can't keep doing this false advertisement. The church says that you can get salvation, and we ain't trying to get nobody saved. We're just trying to get money. And I ain't talking about Living Word. I'm talking about the church as a whole. We send out a message saying that we can get them saved, but we don't really want them saved. We just want them to come sit in the pew or come on and say, man, we say that we want to help them, but we really just want them to come so we can see where we can get help from them. Amen. But we gotta understand that we can't continue to give false advertisement. That's just like the man that was driving his old truck. He had a shift on the collar, 3-speed truck, that he was going up the hill one day, and then the story goes is that the man looked and he said, oh, I'm about to run out of gas. He had it in third. He got up on the hill, and when he got up to the hill, he saw the Texaco sign at the station down there, and by that time he had ran out of gas, so the man just dropped it in neutral, and he allowed himself to coast down the hill, and he pulled in at the gas station. And the man came out. He says, may I help you? He said, yeah, I want to get some gas. And this man looked up and he said, you know what? We don't have any gas. We only sell watermelons. See, we have false advertising. The church is sometimes like that. We're telling the people we got something to fill you up, and then we come out and say we don't have nothing but watermelon. When you get here, we ain't got nothing but a little taster. We ain't got nothing but some snacks. We don't have anything for to fill you up, to get your life on track, to give you energy enough to run on and see what the end is going to be. When will the church stand up and say, I came because I want to help somebody? I'm not always looking to be helped. We can't always have our hand out as a church. We sometimes have to give our hand to lift somebody up. Glory be to God. That's why I just, you know, I'm not saying nothing against nobody, but that's why I can't see, you know, us going out and asking people to come help us, you know, and doing sales and stuff like that to try, you know, to show we need some help at our church. You know what? If God don't supply it, we must not need it. I wish I had somebody. We got to show people and make them have confidence that they can come here to get something, rather than that church always got their hand out. Every Sunday, every Saturday, they selling something. Every Friday, they got a sale or something. You know, and I ain't got nothing against people that do that, but that's just not what God has instructed for me to do. Amen? We have to give a presentation that God, our King, will supply all our need, just like we said. Why are we false advertising? If he'll supply all our need according to his riches and glory, why are we asking for people to supply our need that ain't even part of the Amen. This man had a bad condition. I'm trying to get through because y'all ready to go. This man's condition was bad, and he was helpless. He was dependent on everybody else. And don't you know somebody got tired of fooling with him? Yeah. You can't tell me that they didn't get tired. The only people that didn't get tired is the ones that he was paying for taking them to the gate. Mm-hmm. See, when people benefit off you, they want you to stay in the condition you're in. Oh, I dare you to get something. You got a car now. You don't need their ride. Watch they get jealous. Watch they get angry. You got a job that pays enough now. You don't have to borrow no money. Now you think you too much. Let's read on. He says, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Now, the first thing is that Peter looked at the man and he saw the man needed something. Peter made a connection with him. You know, you can give people help and you don't have to connect with them. But Peter said, look, I'm going to connect with this man because I see what he really needs. You know, because sometimes we give people what they ask for, but that's not what they need. Amen. So Peter looked, and he says that he fastened his eyes on him. That means that Peter gazed at him. He looked down and saw that the man was in need of something. Peter said that you don't need no money. You need Jesus. When are we going to tell people that they don't need some other stuff that they've been asking for, that they need to dedicate themselves to Jesus? Or we're afraid because we're going to offend them. Because they say, I already know him. Then why are you still like you are? Because he said that he'll deliver. Yeah. Oh, have mercy here. Let me go on. He says, Peter fixing his eyes upon him. And he said, look on us. And so the man looked at Peter. And Peter looking at the man. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something. Look at this. Now, we have to make this connection. But when we make the connection with people, we inspect instead of expect. We inspect who it is that's giving it to us. We inspect where it comes from. We inspect the preacher's life. Come on. We inspect. Come on and say amen. We inspect the deacons and the other ministers. We inspect them instead of just expecting God to move. We need to learn how to expect God to move regardless of who he uses. I don't need to be looking at your life to try to see if God can use you. God can use anybody. Look, if you read the Bible, just read it, somebody. Just read it one time and you'll realize that Moses was a murderer. David was an adulterer. Solomon was a man that just had a bunch of wives. And you know, you look at all these people and you look at all the things that they did and God still used them. Look at Samson, who was not obedient. Look at all these people who did all these things, but God still used them. Imagine if the folks that God was trying to help by using them would have inspected them rather than expected them to bring them out. I wish I had somebody. We need to stop inspecting people and start expecting God to move. If I can get my eyes off the person, then I can put my eyes on God. If I can get my eyes off of who it is, I can get my eyes on who's going to do it, which is God. I wish I had somebody. And so I need to make a connection, not because I need to make a connection with the pastor or with the other members, but I need to make a connection with God in them. I need to make a connection with the one on the inside rather than trying to make a connection with them from the outside. We don't have to have fleshly hookups and connections. We need to have a spiritual connection. We need to walk together in unity in the spirit, in the bond of the spirit, the bond of peace. I wish I had somebody. And so we need to learn that we need to stop false advertising and give them Jesus rather than giving them a piece of our mind, giving them our thoughts, giving them what we think about it. Come on and say amen. When we give them the right signs, put up the right sign, these signs shall follow them that what? Believe. They shall cast out devils, speak in new tongues, drink in the deadly thing and shall not hurt them. Lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. Where's your sign? Do you have any sign other than what you say? Okay. He says that this man's, we look at this condition of the man was bad, but we look at the connection that Peter made with him, that he said, look on us. And the man looked back, and the Bible said he expected to receive something of them. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give unto thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Rise up and walk. We look at this thing. We look at the conclusion of it all, and I'm almost done. We look at how Peter looked at him and says, look, I don't have any money to give you, but what I do have is something better than money. What I do have, I believe that it's going to help you for the rest of your life. I wish I had somebody. We give people stuff that is temporary, but what can we give them for the rest of their life? Can we give them a word for the rest of their life? They might remember what you might say. Come on and say amen. Can you encourage them, lift them up, tell them, I got Jesus and that's all I got. So when we go to church, we come to church to understand who Jesus is so we can show the world who Jesus is. I wish I had somebody. And so this man, he looks at him. He says, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to thee. Arise in the name of Jesus and walk. Now this man sitting here looking at Peter and John, and he's telling him to do something that he's never done before. Peter is telling him to do something that he didn't ever learn to do. You know, most babies have to crawl before they walk. Preach. Unless your baby's super baby, he crawled or she crawled before she walked. And so here this man was. He was looking at Peter and John, and Peter requested of him to do something that he had never done before. Something that he had never done before. And when we come to church, you should have the kind of faith, Because I'm expecting you to do something that you've never done. Oh, have mercy here. The expectation is not just for the man looking at Peter, but it's Peter looking at the man. So the expectation is not just one way, but it goes both ways. We need to understand that just as we expect God to do something, God expects us to do something. Just as we expect God to heal us, God say, I expect you to act like you're healed. Just like we expect God to deliver us, God say, do you have enough faith that I can deliver you? I expect you to do something. James said, faith without works is dead. Dead faith. And we got to understand, he wants us to have active faith, living faith, the kind of faith that moves mountains. But not only does that faith move mountains, it moves God. Preaching here. You see, this man had a need, but guess what? God didn't move just because he had a need. God moved when he fastened his eyes on Peter, expecting something to happen. He said, silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, I give to you, and whatever I got, you can get it. So what do I have? I got the riches of God on the inside. I got the Holy Ghost of God on the inside. I got a word on the inside. So such as I have, I'm trying to give it to you. So let's go to church. This man was sitting on the outside of church, never been on the inside of church because he was lame. He couldn't make himself go in. Apparently, the folks he hung out with didn't go to church either because they didn't take him in the church. I wish I had somebody. And so it doesn't matter who you've been hanging with. It doesn't matter where they're at and what they've been doing. Just stay right there until the man of God, to some prayer warrior, somebody who say, I'm going to church. And when you get there, don't pass by the people that need to be in there. Help them to get in the church. I wish I had somebody. I'm not just going to church. I'm bringing you to church. I'm trying to help you get to where you need to be, because if you can ever get in church, we can finally get together and praise God. Notice what happened. He said, I want you to rise up in the name of Jesus. The man didn't rise right away, but Peter grabbed him by his right hand and he lifted him up. And he said, I said, get up from there and stop. I wish I had some people that took authority. Do I have any people in here today that say, I'm taking authority? I'm tired of seeing my loved ones down. I'm tired of seeing them lame. I'm tired of seeing them in this bad condition. I'm tired of seeing my friends and my family go through so much. But I'm taking authority this morning. But you know what? It don't come easy. It comes to those who pray, those who seek God, those who are not just playing church, but those who are the church. Peter and John was going at the hour of prayer. Oh, come on and say amen here. We got to learn how to pray. When we learn how to pray, things will begin to happen. When we learn how to give God what he deserves, then things will begin to happen in our life. We got to understand that it's true that if you have much prayer, you can have much power. Come on and say amen here. Oh yeah, he says that Peter and John says, arise and walk. And they lifted up this man. And I like what happens in verse 8, and I'm almost done, y'all. He says, look, he says in verse 8, and he stood, and he leaping up stood. Now, this man didn't walk first. He leaped first. I wish we all could catch that one. He leaped first. You see, you got to learn how to walk before you run, they say. You got to learn how to run before you can leap. I wish I had somebody. Oh, yeah, this man said, I'm balanced now. I got the Holy Ghost with me now. I got Jesus with me now. I got some prayer warriors with me now. So that gives me good balance, and I'm able to jump. Do you have anybody in here that say, you know what? I haven't ever done this before, but I'm willing to take a jump. I haven't. Oh, Lord, have mercy. Maybe you say, I've never owned a business before, but are you willing to? I came to empower you. I've never been sick like this before, but guess what? I ain't never been healed like God is about to heal me. So will you take that jump? Anybody here want to take a jump with me? Oh yeah, we need to take a jump. I came to lift you. I came to let you know that Peter, that just like Peter said, that silver and gold, I don't have much of that, but what I got, I can give you. I can give you Jesus. If you want Jesus, then he'll get you up from your condition. If you want Jesus, he will strengthen you. He will empower you. Look at the scripture. He said that the man leaped up, stood and walked, and entered into the temple, walking walking and leaping and praising God. And the people saw him walking and praising God. And the Bible says immediately this man received strength. I don't know about you, but whatever your condition is, you may feel like you're weak right now. You may feel like you don't have any hope right now. But I guarantee if you just let this word sink in, let's go to church for a minute. Because when we go to church, God will come in the midst. He said, if two or three are in my name, I'll be what? Here in the midst. Let's just go to church for a moment. And so this man got strengthened. He got strengthened because of what Peter said to him. All I'm trying to do is say something to you that'll strengthen you. All I'm trying to do is say something to you that will encourage you. All I'm trying to do is say something to you that might empower you. Come on and say, man. He said that he got up and leaped. And look, the man didn't stay outside. He didn't stay outside and talk about what God did. He said, I'm going to church. He said, but when I go to church, I'm not going to sit there and act like God didn't do anything for me. I'm not just going to walk in there all pompous and pious and sit there all sophisticated and say,